Maurice Mabior had been in detention for over 435 days. That is from 5th February 2023. He first appeared in public on 16th April 2024 at a court in Juba, where he was charged with defamation against the Director General of National Security Service, Akol Kuch. He appeared again on 24th of April 2024 in the same court, and the trial judge actually said that he had already been bailed, so he did not understand why he was still being held by the NSS. Maurice Mabior's lawyer then approached the Minister of Justice to inquire on the reasons why he was still being held. We later learned through our sources that the National Security Service was still holding Maurice Mabior because they were investigating him for committing crimes against the state, which crimes were insulting the president and undermining the head of state. Of course, then the Minister of Justice correctly ordered that Maurice Mabior should be released on 10th of June because he was already facing a case of defamation. So there was no need for him to be charged again for a similar offense, or even for the investigation to happen under similar charges. And yes, we welcome this decision.
And of course, part of that context is Maurice Mabior was an activist and government critic who was in Kenya, in Nairobi, Kenya. He disappeared from there. He was an asylum seeker, if I remember correctly, and he disappeared.
Yeah, he was an asylum seeker who was obviously let down by the Kenyan authorities, who are alleged to have done it.
Yes, which of course violated international law and humanitarian law. Now, Amnesty International has documented numerous cases of arbitrary detention in South Sudan.
Yes.
What systemic changes do you believe are necessary to prevent such abuses and ensure accountability within the NSS, the National Security Service?
First of all, we are calling for the review of for the reforms of the NSS, starting with the National Security Service Act Amendment Bill that is still pending in Parliament. We made a call sometime last year that this particular agency needs to be reformed. I think the starting point is ensuring that the law is in line with both the South Sudan Constitution and the international law, international standards, that the police-like powers that the agency enjoys should be reverted back to the police, so that they just engage in intelligence, as it happens everywhere else. The police can do the other work that they do.
Yes. So, to limit their powers.
Correct. At the moment, they operate with a lot of impunity and with no form of accountability to anyone.
And also, it's not just an issue within the NSS and the laws that govern it, because the activities of the NSS, according to reports, have extended beyond South Sudan's borders. And so how can the international community and neighboring countries support efforts to protect dissidents and ensure their safety from extrajudicial actions by the NSS?
Our appeal in most of these cases, and especially in the East Africa region where we have seen the NSS extending its operations in countries like Kenya and Uganda. Khartoum was also one of the areas that we saw many South Sudanese being picked up by the NSS. We ask these countries to really respect the international law. You cannot allow someone who is seeking asylum to be taken up, and on offenses that are not extraditable, like defamation in this case. So we are urging them to protect these people. We want due process to be followed.
And part of this urgent call or appeal you're making is the conditions in which he's been detained. Tell us, what have you learned from speaking to his lawyer and maybe other sources?
Yeah, what we gathered so far is that in the very first 3 months when he was arrested arbitrarily, his condition of detention amounted to what we would consider as torture and ill treatment. And this is why we say so. In the first 3 months, he was in solitary confinement in a very small blue house. He was not given sufficient food. He was given food once, a small portion that was not sufficient for him. He was not allowed to mingle with other inmates. He was allowed outside only once. He was not given medical attention, even though he needed it. He was not allowed to see his family. He was not allowed access to any lawyer. And he was also not allowed to, he didn't have access, you know, to the outside world as it would have he would have been expected. And he was kept away from the public, like nobody knew exactly where he was. And then, of course, the failure to present him before a court of law also actually violates the international law that requires an arrested person to be presented before a court of law sooner. But in his case, he was kept for too long.